Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. Good evening. And again, God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministries. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Hallelujah. Turn into Purpose Kingdom Network. 319-527-6091 is the number to dial in. Dial in now. Listen. Press 1 to talk. But even as we go forward with that, we're going to open as always with prayer. God, we do thank you. God, we realize that we can do nothing without you. God, that you are the vine and we are the branches. That we can do nothing except we abide in you. So God, even as in you right now, we live, move, and have our being, for the whole earth is filled with your glory. Where can we go from your presence? My God, hallelujah. If we make our bed in hell, God, you are there. Hallelujah. If we go to the highest mountain, if we go to the depths of the sea, before we get there, God, you are there, for you fill all things. And we thank you for your presence even now as we're on the air, God. DTW Ministries, Purpose Kingdom Network, God, we thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for the open door. Thank you for the vision, God, of Pastor Toy, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for giving us the ability and the willingness, for we know that it's you that works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We pray, God, that you would get glory to yourself, even as the word is ministered, God. Hallelujah, that you would get the glory. Save someone tonight, heal someone, touch someone, encourage someone, strengthen someone tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We wanted to do a part two on this topic, sleeping giants. I had did some reading on it, and I wanted to go through a lot of the details, but, you know, situations come, and I can't see my notes. I'm in the dark, but I know where the phone is. And I thank God that I know that as I open my mouth. You hear the noise in the background, but praise the Lord. As things happen, we're going to continue to move forward to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Well, we talked about briefly at our last episode, sleeping giants and even the whole movement that they have about men. But as I continued to read and continue to look into this topic, they talked about how that Joseph and Daniel and all these mighty men in the Old Testament that we talked about and that we read about, that we preach about, that we sing about, that we study about, that we hear, that are here for our examples, all of these men were teenagers. They were between the ages of 15 to 27 when God began to use them mightily. So when we look at even any section, I really wouldn't even care if it was the Sunbeam Choir, because we know that if the Spirit of God, if a person finds the ability at any age to yield themselves to God, listen, if you avail yourself to God, God will use you at any age. Doesn't matter if you're older, doesn't matter if you're younger. It's your availability. Milton Brunson used to sing a song back in the day, Lord, I'm available to you. My hands, my ears, my eyes, my voice. Use me the way that you desire, because as we are looking in the church, the necessity. We had the illustration Sunday in prison of the fishes and the loaves. And we know that there were 5 loaves and 2 fish amongst, the Bible mentions the number 5,000 men that had to be fed. It doesn't mention the women and children out there, but we can envision, we can imagine with our imaginations that there were children, there were women there, that there were more than men there. But it says that the disciples said, Lord, it's getting dark. Listen, send all these folks home. Send them to their villages. Send them in the city because, listen, and let them go that they may be able to get something to eat because, listen, we ain't got enough for them. Jesus said, man, don't say you ain't got something nowhere. How much do you have? They said, listen, we did see they thought they had did something because they were trying to outflank Jesus because they said, well, we knew he would have asked, what can he do and how much we have. We won't already have that part put together. They already had, hey, my look, we already looked out and we had five loaves and fish. I hear right there the problem. Here, right there, is the issue. Because as we're looking at our own ability, as we're looking at all of what we can do, we fail to see Jesus. We imagine him and his limitations according to what we see. And we know that the Bible says that man looks on the outward, God looks at the heart. But when you're talking about Jesus, you have a common denominator. You have someone greater than yourself. You have someone with the ability, do you understand it, to do miracles, to do more than you can think or imagine. The eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the Bible says, the things that God have prepared, the things that God have in store for them that love him. See, I don't want to put sleeping giants on one category, on one person, but look at us spiritually, church. Look at us brothers and sisters. We know that we stay busy, and a lot of people stay busy with a lot of church work, but yet, never do kingdom work, never do kingdom building, never do anything actually to the glory of God. They just do things to stay busy. Are you busy? Are you a giant making a lot of noise, being seen everywhere you move, but yet aren't getting anything done toward the glory of God? You say, I'm busy. I'm in church. What you mean I'm not doing anything to the glory of God? I'm in church. How can I not be doing? See, the Bible says, again, many in that day will say, didn't we do all this in your name? I'm already, it's not even 10 minutes in, and I'm already to my first challenge. My first challenge of the night is to find out what it is you are supposed to be doing. What gifts do you have? What talents do you have? What is your passion? When you go amongst the people of God, when you're in church, what sticks out the most to you? Now, see, some of us use that as an excuse or as a point to point fingers at each other, as a point of ridicule, as a point to say, see, they're not doing it. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you that if you see it, it's because God is calling you to be the visionary, that God is calling you to be the example, that God is calling you to be the one to bear the burden. Now you know what you have to pray for. Now you know what you have to strive for. Now you know what you have to press for. Now you know the direction that you have to go. Listen, even if the pastor says no, you have to do it. You might not be able to do it in the house, but you have to do what God is. You said God is calling you to feed the homeless. God is calling you to a homeless ministry. God is calling you to the shelters. God is calling you to the streets. God is calling you to the prisons. Whatever it is, you have to do it because you are a portable giant. Yeah, because the greater one is on the inside. Each of us. Look at yourself. Look at your silhouette. Look at your shadow. Look at what you're accomplishing. And yet, the greater one is still on the inside. Yet, the greater one is still abiding. Yet, the greater one is still available to every child of God that desires more from God. But why and how much will you pour in? There's a conference of a pastor friend of mine. And this conference that he has every year is the fresh oil, fresh wine, fresh fire. God wants to pour in fresh oil and wine into our spirit to stir a fresh fire. But will we be satisfied, giant, with church as usual? Will you be satisfied to do church work and not kingdom work? Will we be satisfied to do the norm and not press? I know those that are listening, there's a press in you. There's a push in you. There is something tugging at you, nagging at your spirit to do. But you look around and see who else is doing it. You look around and you tell people about it, and everybody is so excited in you, it's so pressing in you, it's so adamant in you, it's so strong in you. And when you tell people, they like, oh, okay, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. And it discourages you, and you don't move because you're looking for people to move. But listen, God has already moved in you. God has already moved in you to do it. And listen, it's God that works in us, both to will and to do. I'm going to say it again. It's God that works in us, both to will and to do. Listen, of his good pleasure. God's design for you. It's different. It's 7 billion people in the world, and not one of them is alike. God has made you uniquely to be a giant in the earth. God has made you specifically, so specific that even the smallest detail of your person is different from everybody else's. Even down to, we know our fingerprint, our iris. They say that now you can look in a person's eye, in the back of their eye, and tell their identity just because it's different from everyone. We know the eye scan, the retinal scan, that's a technology that's out now. We didn't know how much of detail God put into these bodies that we have. If so much God did for the house of clay that we live in, my God, imagine what he has done in your spirit, man. Imagine what he has done in you before even the foundation of the world. Imagine what he's done and planned to accomplish in you, even before the world ever was. Because we were in him in the beginning. We were in him in eternity. We are, my shit, God. We thank God. Look what God desires to accomplish through you. Even that our bodies, this is not even the glorified body. This is nothing but flesh and bone. This is nothing but clay. This is nothing, and Miles Monroe say, dirt. My God, and God has put so much detail in the flesh that perish. Just think of not the ability, but think of the wonder if we could allow our spirit to commune with God's spirit, that we can allow the spirit of God to take its residence in us to the point where we can say, like Paul, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The awakening of the giant in the church. You thought it was going to be the men. Some of y'all thought it was going to be the women. Some of you thought it was going to be the children, the teenagers, the young people, that untapped potential, that group that just seems to come to church and doesn't do anything, doesn't get involved. We thought it was going to be all these different groups and sects. But it's you. It's you. It's me. Is us. As we are waking up, I looked at a brother and he's been in a wheelchair for a while, for as long as I've known him. And God is beginning to move in my heart. That's my brother. And my heart begins to break because I don't want him in the chair no more. I want he got to get out of there. But I know I can't pray. God won't let me cower and pray and stretch my hands towards him. God ain't going to let me go in my secret place and pray. God wants me to lay hands on him and pray. That's how I feel. And I believe he's moving us toward doing the will of God. We can do a lot of things. We can do a lot of things. But God wants kingdom building to be our agenda. Are we about building the kingdom of God? I want to motivate you. I want to encourage you. Giants, listen, great intentions and no tactical success. That's the acronym I have for giants. They are those that have great intentions and no tactical success. Great intentions. We're doing great things. We're doing grand things. We're doing excellent things. But our fruit don't remain. Because we're doing it for self-gain, for self-gratification, for self-glory, for selfish ambition, for selfish reasons. I had to check myself and repent and talk to my brothers today at a meeting because I wanted to use a brother that I thought needed a wake-up call and needed a reality check. I really believe that he did. And I wanted to give him the space to do what he's been asking over and over and over and over to, and that's to minister. And I didn't think he was ready. So I was like, give him a chance. I'm going to give him a chance. Yeah, give him a chance to minister. But I didn't want him to give him a chance to minister. I wanted to give him a chance to fall. I wanted to give him a chance to see for himself what I've told him. You ain't ready. But I had to stop. I had to stop myself because who am I to judge another man's servant? I might not think he's ready. God might get up there. He get up there and God use him mightily. We never know. So we have to keep our eyes off of flesh because, listen, if you look long enough, flesh won't disappoint you. If you look hard enough, you will see something in somebody that you don't agree with. If you look long enough, listen, our pastor says he don't trust nobody's flesh. His flesh and your flesh. My flesh, no, he don't trust flesh because flesh is flesh. Your body will do what your body wants to do because we're shaping in iniquity. Our nature is a sinful nature in this flesh. We have the nature of our father, Adam. We have that fallen sinful nature that dwells in our members. But through the blood of Jesus, through the cross, through the act, what Christ has done being crucified, making an open show of the works of the enemy, nailed sin to the cross. We no longer that are alive have to live to sin, but now we can live to God. We can live to God because of the blood, the sacrifice that Christ has done for us, becoming sin for us, becoming a curse for us, that we through him no longer have to be slaves to sin. As I look out, and I think about this acronym, Great Intentions. They say the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. I meant to do the right thing. Good intentions and no tactical success. God's voice, God's, they say they call it, what, a carbon footprint. Yeah, we don't want to burn too much fossil fuels. You know, we want to leave a little carbon. We want to leave as little as possible carbon footprint. But God wants to leave his footprint, his impression in everything that we do. Listen, he already gave us his spirit. He already impressed in us his expression. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Do we recognize that? I'm just beginning to recognize it. I've said it, I've preached it, I've ministered, I've taught it, and I'm just beginning to truly recognize I have God on the inside of me. And I have a magnet up on my refrigerator. It says, what would you try to do if you knew you could not fail? My God. What would you attempt to do? What would you try to do if you knew you could not fail? I want someone to call in right now. I want a caller to call in and tell me, what is it that's, I would say, hindering you or slowing down your progress to moving in those things or the things of God that you know you should be doing? I want to pray with you, but I want you to call in. You don't have to give your name, but I want you to call in. I want to hear what it is that you're struggling with day by day, what you're struggling with, what it is, and it might not even be a struggle. It just might be something that you're witnessing that you know you haven't been doing what you need to do to move to the next level in God. We're going to leave the line open for you while we continue to move forward, but we're looking for your call. We're looking for you to call in and let us know. You can text in. If you're online, send in your message. You can type it in, and they'll get it through the email address, but we want you to call in. I want Rob to come in because I don't have my book in front of me, and I've forgotten the number. He's going to give you the call numbers that you can call and the instructions how you can call and get on the line.
If you want to get on the line tonight, and this is such a great ministry so far tonight, you can call in at 319-527-6091. You can press the number 1 at any time, and we'll go ahead and we'll cue Reverend Williams that you're on the line, and he will go ahead and respond to your response.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I thought that was it, but I wasn't sure. I usually have my book open, and I have the number in right in the side. See what technology and stuff do to you? I got so many numbers in this phone of mine, and I don't even know my mom's number. I just know mom. Push mom, and it'll dial. So I didn't have to know the number. It's the same thing with Purpose Kingdom. I said that number earlier, but I wasn't sure if that was the correct number. So that is the number, 319-527-6091. And I thought about this thing long and hard, y'all. I'm telling you. I thought about it long and hard. The disciples said, send them away, my God. When we have all the power, when we have God, when we have by faith access to the God who said, let there be, and it was, with the God that can speak those things that are not as though they are, the God that whatever he says, my God, that has power in his voice, that his name alone, at his name alone, demons tremble. Demons got to flee. Demons got to come out. Everybody, at his name alone, every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess. At his word, said he even esteemed his word above his name. That's the same God that you and I serve. And we're telling God, send them away. Send them to social services. Send them to HR. Send them to this agency. Send them to that. Send them to this government help. We don't have anything we can do for them here. There was an illustration I was talking to Reverend Cannell. He gave the illustration, and he never knew. He was fascinated by it. They were in a food line feeding people, and he was a young man. He was dipping the Kool-Aid. And he's looking at the line, and he's looking at how much Kool-Aid is in this big tub that they had, in this big pot that they had. And he was in the scoop would fill up a cup. Scoop would fill up a cup. But he's looking at the, he here in the middle. He at the bottom of the bowl. He at the bottom of the barrel. And he telling the mother next to him, "Mom, we ain't got enough juice for all these people in the line." And she looked at him, looked in the pot, took a cover, took her apron off, and covered the top of the pot and told him, "Keep on dipping. Keep on dipping." She said, "Everyone in that line cup was full." He kept expecting not to be able to fill up the ladle, not to be able to fill up the cup, but he would just keep dipping. And the more he put it in, the more Kool-Aid he pulled into everyone's cup. We need that same, we need those kind of experiences. Our children need those kind of experiences. We need to see the move of God manifest. But I'm going to tell you, saints, you won't see it if you're afraid, if you're embarrassed. And I have to bring up this point, embarrassment, because today we have a picture of me as the advertisement, as the media, as what's going out for today's topic, sleeping giant, and big old me sitting up in my aunt's house in a chair, sleep. I went over, she fed me, and I fell asleep right there in her chair in her living room, and my cousin took a picture of me. And the first time when I talked the topic, I sent this picture out, but I didn't want it to go out on social media because I was embarrassed. My stomach was out. I thought I was a spectacle. I was embarrassed. My pride was like, no. I was telling Pastor and Brother Rob, no, no, do not. You can send my flyer that I always use, but you cannot send that picture. No. That's the reason why I said no. I was embarrassed. I didn't want it to go out. It made me feel funny. I didn't want to do it. It was pride. God dealt with me. Where's your pride? Well, how can that be embarrassment? That's who you are. That's what you look like. So I had to allow the picture to go out that I may have a lesson in humility. And I'm hoping that I'm passing this test. But I ain't taking no more crazy pictures. I should chop Deuce in the throat for taking that picture right there. But even as, listen, we have the opportunity. God has birthed us in a time where some crazy stuff is happening. But he didn't do it that we may be observers only. He didn't birth us in such a time as this that we would raise generation after generation of children that don't know him, that we've been talking about church but showing very little. We've been talking about power. We've been talking about miracles. But every time someone comes with a need, we respond like the disciples. Send them over there. Listen, the world is coming up with solutions for its problems while the church is running into the confines of the four walls. I would say the cave of Adullam, but we're not running the cave. We're running into an atmosphere of elitist. We're creating an atmosphere of elitist where we're snobby and looking down our nose at people that we consider less than, weaker than, not as spiritual as we are. Sleeping in Zion. Christ did not come to condemn, but to save. Those that are well have no need of a physician. The call went out on Sunday. Who will be Jesus for us? Who will say, don't send them away? Bring them here. See, these words come back to me. Don't think I have to not challenge. I'm challenging myself that while we minister, while we're in church with our suits and our hats and our gloves and our bonnets and our veils, our shawls and our high heels and our lizards and all these things, these just jewelry, when we're out and we're in the building, who will be Jesus for me? Who will be Jesus? Hebrews 11, it says that the first verse, the first three words says, now faith is. And I want that to settle in the thought of the disciples. It's getting dark. Look, Jesus, send them away. We ain't got nothing for them. Jesus said, yeah, we got exactly what they need. And not just that, we have more than enough. How are you going to say that? Well, where you get that from? Because after they fed the 5,000, he said, gather the baskets. They started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when they finished, they had 12 baskets. My God. I want to tell you, child of God, you're enough. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Right where you are, with all your errors, with all the shortcomings you know you have, with Christ in you, you're still more than enough. I got to tell you that again. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Glory's hope, glory's daydream, glory's imagination is that Christ may be fully formed in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And with Christ on the inside, listen, my sister, my brother, my friend, you are more than enough. You have what it takes. God chose you before the foundation of the world, and you have what it takes. You have it on the inside. Songwriter says something on the inside, working on the outside, thought about a change in my life. My God, that's my second challenge. I want you to write the vision. I want you to get in a quiet place. Write down everything that you believe God is calling you to do. Close the book and meditate on scripture today. I want you to meditate on Psalms 1, Proverbs 3. Meditate on it. He that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are of the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the way of the ungodly shall perish. My God, God has desired something better for us. Hebrew said that we were given a better covenant. And God is expecting better things. I'm telling you, when I read these scriptures, when I thought about these sleeping giants, I had to repent myself. Yeah, I'm living holy. Yeah, I'm doing all that I know how. But when I thought about these scriptures, there's so much more we can do. There's someone you know that needs prayer right now. It's someone you know.
you pointing them to Jesus? Or are you pointing them away to someone else, away from you? Where are you sending them? I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I sending people away with my attitude? Am I sending people away with the way I behave? Am I sending people away with my disposition? Am I sending people away with what comes out of my mouth? Or am I drawing people in to Jesus? Listen, we don't do it unto ourselves. We're doing it as unto the Lord, that we may not build kingdoms for ourselves, but that we may build the kingdom of God. I'm excited tonight because I understand that we're a body, and that if he's doing it in you, he's doing it in me. And if he's doing it in me, he's doing it in you, because we are supplied by the same, we are connected by the same power. We are part of the same tree. We are of the same mind. And the power that flows through you flows through me. The same spirit that talks to you talks to me. My God, hallelujah. And we're excited because God is pressing us forward, pressing you forward, pressing you and I forward, that his kingdom may be seen in the earth. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Or the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. People are saying there is no God because we've been all talk, all shout, all song and dance. You know, like you're going to tap dancing with the minstrel, tapping his hand, and ha, mammy, da-da-da-da-da-da, mammy, ta-da. We're doing the encore. We're looking for the grand finale. And it's lackluster. We're looking for to come to the paramount, to the top, the excitement, the pandemonium. And it's benign. And I'm saying, listen, church is great. I love church. I love church. I love to dance. I love to shout. I love to praise. I love to worship. But I believe God is calling us to more. We're coming to get filled. But filled for what? Filled that we may be filled and leak all week? We don't want to leak. We want to pour. That's a revelation right there. Somebody going to preach that later. We don't want to leak. We want to pour. My God. Bible says, I will pour out of my spirit. He didn't say I'm going to leak it out. He said I'm going to pour it out. My brother, my sister, he wants to pour it out through you. He wants to pour it out through me. He wants to pour it out through us. He wants to pour out of his spirit. My God. 319-527-6091. The line is still open. Hallelujah. The line is still open for your call. But as we move and moving, talking about moving, I had a lot to deal with in the last 2 weeks. I thought about a lot of things, and I had to really check myself. I had to make sure I still had the right motive. I still had the right mind. I still had the right heart, because I had a need. And for the past 2 weeks, I have been doing some things, and I sent a text out to a lot of my friends, a lot of my brothers, and I would say at least 20. At least 20 of them I sent it out to. I had a need. I needed some things I was trying to get done, and I had a deadline. I had to do it by a certain time. Well, I got two responses. One I had to pay, and the other brother I didn't expect, because he had just been released from his doctor after a major surgery. So I didn't expect him. I appreciated his help, but I didn't really want him to come because I didn't want him to do anything that would damage himself. But it felt good to see him. But when I looked at how many people I did invite and none came, I felt some kind of way. And then when I came into the service, people were smiling. I say, hey, Brother Aaron, I really wanted to say, man, get out of my face. That's how I felt, but I couldn't. I had rehearsed my response because I heard me telling people off. You know, I joked about it with a friend of mine, but when I seen people, I greeted them the same way. But my heart, I felt betrayed. I knew some of these guys are going thousands of miles on a mission field. They're going hundreds and thousands of miles, but couldn't travel 3 miles to help me. I felt some kind of way. You got to pray for Brother Aaron. I felt some kind of way, and I had to pray. God, you got to help me with this. I forgive him, but you got to help me with how I'm feeling right now. Because I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. Because I know if I talk while I'm feeling this way, I know my mouth. You know, my mouth has gotten, Brother Aaron's mouth has gotten him in a lot of trouble. You know, so I make sure I keep my mouth shut. I'm telling you because I know y'all ain't going to tell nobody. Well, Rod might tell somebody, but I know ain't nobody else going to say nothing. But I'm encouraged. Listen, saints, I'm encouraged in the things of God because God's faithfulness to us. God could have left us in our mess. God didn't have to draw us. He didn't have to call us. The Bible says we can't even come unless he first draw. So look at the expectation and purpose of God in that. You're here because God purposed it. You're here because God called. You're here because God drawn. Listen, he drew you. He purposed you. He called you. How do I know? Because I know it's someone that's right next to me that didn't come. It's someone that you know that heard the call but didn't come. There's someone you know that you told and they said no. Because God wasn't drawn of his spirit at that time. But he has you on the air right now, hearing me with my third challenge. You've written everything down. You've closed the book. I know you're praying. You're meditating on Psalms 1, which I recited, and Proverbs 3. But I want you also to get your favorite scripture and meditate on that. But my third challenge is when you get face to face with whatever that thing is, that you pray. If it's for someone's healing, pray for them. Don't do a silent prayer. Go over it and let them know God's been dealing with me. Pray for you. You don't got to slop them down with oil. You ain't got to say, speak all loud. Just speak to them. And allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Even if you say, God, take away the pain in Jesus' name. It ain't got to be nothing, you know, theologically deep or aesthetic. Just pray. And watch God bless you. I believe we're going to have testimonies that someone was sick and God prayed for them and God healed them on the spot. Someone was sick and they was in the hospital and they were saying they wasn't going to make it. They'd be released next week. They'd be released tomorrow. Someone was going to hospice. He said they were sending them home to die. And when they went to the, when before they left the doctor said, we can't find the cancer. We can't find the illness. We want to do more tests. I believe that God wants to show himself strong. In Daniel, it says that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Aren't you ready for the exploits today? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you do not know Jesus, in the pardon of your sin. Or if you feel that I was talking to you, giant, if you feel that that was you and the Lord began to tug at your heart, you had great intentions and no tactical success, you're a giant. You're filled with things like Martha. You're involved with a lot. But you know you're not truly working for the Lord. You're working for the church. You're not truly working for the Lord. You're working for self-gratification. You're not truly working for the Lord. You're working for people to see you as a Christian. But your heart is on something else. I want all of those to say yes to those four or five things. Pray this prayer with me, and I'm going to pray for you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And write my name in your book. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and become Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done what you've asked. At the end of this prayer, we're going to have our online engineer come on and give you further instruction on how to correspond with Purpose Kingdom and how to get in touch, whatever, if you have a church affiliation. They'll give you the information after we pray. God, I do thank you and I bless you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, that you're a great God. Thank you, God, for these men and women that are on the line praying with me. God, even as you desire, hallelujah, that we grow in you. God, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. God, that may be struggling, that may be fearful, that may be hesitant to do those things that you're purposing in them. They're beginning to see what it is, but they're hesitant to move. They don't know how to do it. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would stand up in them, even as they acknowledge you in all their ways. God, your word says that you will direct their path. So I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for your direction, for your wisdom, and for your guidance. In the name of Jesus, stand up in them now, God, like never before, that they may go forth in you, in the name of Jesus, bringing souls into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. At this time, we're going to bring on our engineer. He's going to come and give you some instructions, some correspondence information, and give you some listings on some other broadcasts that we have, and then we'll come back with the benediction and closing remarks. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank you so much, Reverend Williams. And this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us here for tonight's broadcast, whether you join us online or via phone. We thank you so much for your support, for listening to us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And if you have a Android phone, you can just go to the Android Android app where it says the Android Play. You can just go to where it says podcast, and you can just type in Purpose Kingdom Network, and you can like us there, and you can listen to each and every one of our programs we have. And you can also, if you have an iPhone, you can go to the purple app where it says podcast. You click on there and hit search and hit Purpose Kingdom Network. And you can like us there. And there you won't miss any of our episodes. And we greatly appreciate any participation or any support you give us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much for that. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Door to Roof. And once again, that's going to be hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow evening, it's going to be Door to Roof, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And we hope you join us and participate in tomorrow night's broadcast. We thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We also thank you for joining Reverend Aaron Williams with DTW Ministries. And, of course, you know, like I said, we cannot stop, you know, giving you accolades for supporting the Faith Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, that's going to be all of our announcements. And Reverend Williams, the show's going to be back in your hands.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Brown. We thank God for Brother Rob and those that work behind the scenes to make this happen every day. You know, they don't just do DTW ministry, but they handle most of the broadcasting and most of the media communication, you know, and they are top notch. Him and Pastor Toy and those that work with them, you know, really do a well and a well-rounded presentation of the gospel. You know, DTW Ministries is just one aspect of that. You know, they have talk shows, they have news, they have, I would say, in-time ministry, relevant speech. They have so many different venues of the gospel here on Purpose Kingdom Network. You know, my show that we're doing right now, you know, I'm past my bedtime. I'm staying on this hour because of a good friend of mine that requested that I stay on this hour. Well, a good friend, my mom said, no, stay on this time. So that's why I'm still here, because usually I'm already, you know, tucked in by now. But we thank God for Tuesday nights. Every other Tuesday, we come on the broadcast. Every other Tuesday, the next time that DTW Ministries will be on the air will be August the 20th. Wow, August is by the time we come in, it'll already almost be September. Already in the fourth, one, two, three, four, the third trimester of the year. We're already almost out of summer, about to go into fall, about to go into autumn. And it's unbelievable how time flies when you begin to get older. You know, I guess because your day is full, and by the time you recognize the day, it's time to take a nap. You know, that is my great, one of my greatest three-letter words now that I'm over 50. Nap. So we thank God. You know, so we have a caller on the line. We're going to bring that caller on before we give the benediction. Caller, you're on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you. Caller, you're on air. All right, did we lose that caller? All right, praise the Lord. Well, if you call, if you get a chance to call back, we'll take you as soon as you come through. Are they still on the air? We'll bring them on in, or we lost them. All right, I don't hear any voices, so I'm going to keep talking until I hear another voice. So we thank God for you. We thank God for the worldwide communication, the international ministry that is Purpose Kingdom, where we're in several countries around the world. And we don't take it lightly that you've decided to spend your hour with us on these Tuesday nights, but we count it an honor and a privilege, and we count it more an honor and a privilege that God has put us in such a place to be used at this time. So we thank God all the way around. We're just thankful to our God for his goodness, for the opportunity, and we're growing up together. But listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. We have the ability in God to do great things. But you have to do them. You can't imagine them. You can't just dream about it. This saying is our mantra for our men's fellowship conference this year. Yeah, the men's fellowship, Deliverance Evangelistic Church at 2001 West Lehigh Avenue, is having their annual men's conference September the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, and ending on the 22nd with a word from our pastor at the morning service. And then we're having a citywide all-male concert choir. Listen, if you want to sing with us, the uniform is black and white. You have to come to two rehearsals, which are in September at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church on September the 14th and September the 21st. Those are the two rehearsals. We're going to be singing Sunday night, September the 22nd. Listen, we got a fantastic lineup. We got some dynamic speakers. We got some dynamic seminar teachers that are not just teachers, but they're preachers in their own right. Listen, we got Reverend Donovan, our prayer herald, on Wednesday night. We got him. We have Reverend Leon Bostic, Reverend Richard Cannell. We got Reverend Zaro Harris. We got Evangelist Calvin Myers. We have Bishop Gilbert Coleman from Freedom Baptist up on 61st in Columbia. You know, he's also not just a bishop, but he's the head of their Transforming the Minds of Men ministry. And then yours truly, I'll be doing the prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. You know, you can come out for that. And then our pastor will give us a final word on September the 22nd. That's on a Sunday. And then again, if you desire, if you can sing, you can hold a tune. If you can blend, if you just want to sing, we want the men there. Black and white is the uniform. That is a black suit, white shirt, black tie. You know, so you're welcome to come. Our rehearsals are the second and third Saturday in September at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church. And I'll give you the time, but I believe the time is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the rehearsals. So we would like to see you there, and we would like to see you attend the services. We're going to try to get you out, you know, as soon as possible at a great hour where we won't have you there all night. We know it's during the week, but we also know that people work, so we're going to try, you know, to be mindful of that by getting you out at a decent hour. But we're going to be expecting, we're expecting God to do even greater things than what he's been doing. Our expectation is off the charts. You know, 2 years ago when we started our campaign, we started, you know, that we're moving into the overflow. That God is bringing us out of mediocrity into abundance. Then last year, it was after we were filled and we're in the point of overflow. Now you have to occupy because you got to get busy. He ain't just called you to get filled so you'll sit around and twiddle your thumbs, but to occupy the territory that he's placed you in. And now is that now that you've been filled, now that you've moved in the overflow, now that you've occupied until he comes, now be strong and get busy. The theme for this year is be strong and work. There's a hymn, the line on hymn from 1906, and this is our mantra for our men's conference. It was given to us by our head of board of deacons, Deacon Carl Rivers. And there's a saying they used to say before a basketball game, but it's actually an old hymn, and it says, "We're not here to dream or drift. We got work to do and loads to lift. Shun not to struggle. 'Tis God's gift. Just be strong." We're expecting to see you there the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st and 22nd at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church in September. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God's face, light, and countenance shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.